Some principles of is the title. Some principles of, colon. Number one, Christ's motive for giving. Christ's motive for giving. I think that's rather clear to us all. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved, he gave. God so loved the world, he gave. God so loved the lost world, he gave. Sometime we might tell our children, our own children, or our Sunday school class, or young people, real youngsters, those that are going to grow up later to be people, that the Lord won't love you if you're bad. Well, that sounds all right. Might be a slight deterrent, but doctrinally that won't stand up, will it? The Lord loves you when you're bad and when you're good, because the Lord loves you through the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us when we're bad. He loves us when we're good. He loves us all the time. And he loved the world, the lost world, so much that he gave his only begotten Son. I have one only begotten Son that I love very, very much. All of my friends know that. In fact, one of my prayers constantly that I will keep J-Boy and Bonnie committed. And that's about as hard a job as I have cut out for me, is to keep them committed to him, because I love them so very, very much. And he loves us. He loves us so much that he gave. But when it comes to finances, when it comes to money, that's not the motive that he presents to you and to me. That is the ultimate. That is pure. But he presents another motive to you and to me. And this motive is the motive of investment. Investment. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, don't lay up treasures on earth, because they'll rust, or they'll be stolen. But, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Luke 16:8. Rather, the entire chapter of Luke 16 is very, very fascinating. Remember, this story is called the story of the unjust steward. Starting with the first verse, and he said also in Luke 16, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused in him that he wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then his steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are, in their generation, wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, Who will give you that which is your own? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For many years, this was a hard passage to me, because I wondered how this Lord could commend the unjust steward, because he was unjust, how he could commend him. But he gives us the explanation. In the light of his own ethics, he was wiser than you and me who are children of light. Why? Simply because he looked after his future. Nowadays, there's a lot on security. There's a lot on investments, looking after the future. He looked after his future, which was the latter part of his life. He felt he really wasn't physically able to dig, and he was ashamed to beg. So he's going to work a deal. He was going to give these fellows a real cut so that after he lost his job, he could come to them around and say, "Hey, pal," he says, "you remember I cut you in on that good deal? How about a little handout?" And they would probably pay off because they appreciated the handout that he had given them. And the scripture exhorts us, take money, verse 9, and with money use it. Take the mammon of unrighteousness and invest it. Invest it for eternity. Invest it for God. Invest it for hospitality. Invest it for others. Invest it in missions. This money and the result of this money will welcome you into the everlasting habitation. That when ye fail, and we are going to fail one of these days, you know we're going to die. It really isn't ours, you see, until we've given it away. Then it really becomes ours. Into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. Verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, we say we own Glen Eyrie, the Navigators. A few years ago, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Strake owned it. A few years before that, there was a development company that owned it. A few years before that, a man by the name of Mr. Cockrell owned it. Before that, why, it was the heirs of the Palmers. Before that, it belonged to General Palmer. And I think he bought it from the state of Colorado. Well, now, whose land is it? Well, we can easily see that it's temporary possession at the most, huh? Because we've called all these people, and all these people said they owned it. But now then they don't. Well, it's temporary. It's temporal. It really belongs to the Creator. It really belongs to another. And one of these days we're going to die and somebody else is going to say they own it. If you've not been faithful in that which you really don't own, will He be able to give you that which is your real inheritance? Matthew 19. Matthew 19, starting with verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He that saith unto him, Which? Jesus saith, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now Jesus is going to tell a man what he can do in addition to all these marvelous things. You know? Evidently the fellow is free from adultery, free from stealing, free from bearing false witness. He's honored his father and his mother, and he loves his neighbor as himself. Now Jesus, the Son of God, is going to add something to this. Must be pretty potent, huh? You can add to that.
Woo!
Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be fully mature, grown up, perfect, full grown, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. What did Jesus want for this young man? If thou wilt be mature, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Did he want the poor to look after? What do you think? Was he on a poverty program? Was this his poverty program pitch? Was this his poverty sermon? Jesus says, The poor ye have always with you. I understand that's what the preacher preached on one day after he had taken the offering. And he says, The poor you have always with you. And I see they're still with us. Thank you. Are you a little slow tonight? Are you tired? Would you like to stand up? Why don't you stand up? Come on, stand up. Okay, now sit down. I'm not even through my first point. Go and sell the other half and give to the poor. Look at this next phrase. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. What's the motive that Jesus gave for giving? Investment. Let me encourage you. I like to say things that are absolute and ultimate. Kindly consult every verse Jesus Christ gave on giving and see what he said the motive was. I'll give you a secret. You'll find it's one thing. And only one. The one that he gave. He wanted this young man to convert all of his riches into spiritual riches so that he wouldn't lose them. He loved him. He was looking after a security program for him. And then he says, on top of that, he says, You come and follow me so that the rest of your life will be invested in eternal things, and you can have that too. You can have it all. You can convert what you have up to now. That's where it says, And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. You can convert it into heavenly currency. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He really didn't want to invest for eternal things. Peter was there when Jesus said this. 19:27 in Matthew. Then answered Peter and said to him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? When J-Boy was first learning to talk, he never has had a problem eating. None of the Crawford clan has ever had a problem eating. You know, some children, you have to coach them to eat. I told my wife that none of our children would ever be like that. And they haven't. So he would be eating away on his meal. And he would just start his meal and he would say, What we gonna have, Mommy? Meaning, what we gonna have for dessert? What we gonna have, Mommy? And she would try to tell him that, Son, we'll have dessert. You just finish your meal. But he was so concerned about what we're going to have for dessert, even when he started his meal, what we're going to have. Because a child is interested in himself. He's interested in what he's going to eat and those things that are very close to him. And isn't this like a child spiritually? When Peter said, What are we going to have? And aren't you glad he asked? Then we don't have to ask. Yeah. I imagine if that was one of the fellows on the crew showing such a display of the flesh, I might say, There you go, Gene. Always interested in yourself. Looking after old number one.
but not the Lord. The Lord who gives to all men liberally without making them feel foolish or guilty when they ask him a question. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally without making them feel foolish or guilty. You know, when we ask God questions, he doesn't make us feel silly. In raising our children, we've followed that. We have never answered him with a silly answer. We've always answered him as intelligently as we could, although his questions were very childish, obviously. There's a psychologist giving us some lectures, businessmen some lectures out in Oakland, and a lady, the mother of a seven-year-old boy, came to him about her boy, and she said, "Dr. Kelly, he's so adolescent." And in his mind, he said, "Well, lady, I sure hope so." At 7 years old. Peter says, "What are we going to have?" The Lord very patiently says, "Behold," Matthew 19:27. Peter says, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the generation which the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one, that's you and me, that hath forsaken houses and brethren and sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." A hundredfold. You know what percentage that is? 100 times. 100 times. What percent is that? If it's double, that's what? 100%. If it's, you see? What would that be? 100-fold. Pardon me? 10,000. 10,000%. What if you could get that down at the local loan company? Woo! This is better than the local loan company. This is heavenly riches. This is Scripture. 10,000%. Every one of you that has forsaken anything for me, Jesus said, shall receive 100-fold. And he names them. Houses, lands. Could we not put in here jobs? Any sacrifice? Any missions project? Or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold. That's a good business proposition. That's a good sense of values. And Peter, he might have been a little glib with his mouth, but his intellect was sure sane. He knew how to invest. He's a good businessman. And I'm sure that he never regretted the day that he quit fishing. You know, when he pulled in that great drought of fish, and there were large fish, 153. If it had been salmon wholesaling out of Bremerton or Seattle a few years ago, they were wholesaling at $2 a piece. So that would be $306 at one dip of the seine. Wouldn't take much of that to, you know, be quite a little bit of money. And I'm sure he thought, "Lord, with you in business with me, telling me where to drop this net, and salmon at $2 wholesale, we can really clean up." But he chose to not take the 3.5 or the 4.6 or the 5%. He says, "That's too little for a man that's got some good business sense." He says, I'm gonna get a real cut. 10,000%. Christ's motive for giving? Investment. Does that bother you just a little bit? Roy, doesn't that make you feel a little unclean that, you know, God says I can give for my investment? That isn't very spiritual, is it? Doesn't that smack of the world? Perhaps. But you know, we're children. We don't understand very much. He's trying to get us to understand it. And I think that's the reason he puts it in this terminology. How to give. That's point number two. So you see, we're going to have a lovely evening. How to give. Luke 21. Luke 21, verses 1, 2, and 3. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasure. And he said, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither some green stamps. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow... Some of you people aren't following me, I can tell. ...has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offering of God, but she of her penury has cast in all the living that she hath. This has been a problem to me for years and years and years. And it just cleared up a few weeks ago when I was teaching a Sunday school class. And this was part of the scripture. Because if she gave all the living that she had, what was she going to do for groceries? Well, the answer to that is, what was she done even with those green stamps, or those two mites anyway? She wouldn't have had enough to buy enough to eat either. So she could do whatever she was going to do in the outset. But surely this wouldn't be enough. Like the widow over there in the Old Testament, where she was gathering two sticks to cook the last little bit of meal. And Elisha, was it? Elisha? Elijah. Which one? First or second? Jah? Jah. He asked her, you know, and she says, well, I was going to gather two sticks and cook this for me and my child. But she gave it to the prophet, and the cruse of oil didn't cease, and the barrel of meal didn't fail. But you know, two sticks really won't cook very much meal. So had she kept it, she wouldn't have had a whole lot. In fact, she says, I'm going to eat it and die. And eating that wouldn't have prolonged life very much anyway. And that's about our investment, isn't it? Huh? Just about what two sticks will cook. Even big sticks won't cook much. And so suppose she'd have kept this, she wouldn't have had much. But the reason I was confused is I didn't read the scriptures. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 22, he says, ye do error not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. That's where we make our mistake. We don't know the Bible. So the lesson is rather clear, at least it is to me now, starting with verse 45 in the 20th chapter. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples. Now what was he doing? He was saying unto his disciples. You know, you're talking to the disciples. He's trying to teach 12 disciples some lessons. But the rest of the people heard him too, but he was talking to some disciples. He was talking to some people who had spiritual understanding. He was trying to get over a point to some fellows who had been with him for quite a while. They weren't just ordinary boys. They had had quite a bit of help when he was trying to teach them this lesson. And I suppose that's the reason I just got it after 25 years as a Christian. You know, I had a little help during these 25 years, and he's opening up a little bit. He said to his disciples, 46, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets, and the high seats in the synagogue, and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasure, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in all the living that she had. Has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offering of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Can you and I cast upon the altar of God all the living that we have? Why, of course we can. Why, sure. We find in Luke 14:33 says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." Well, of course we can. We can put all the money that we have on the altar of God and say, "Father, here it is. My 3%, my 10%, my 15%, my 30%, and all I have left, it's all yours. Lord, you guide it. Lord, you guide the money I spend for groceries to keep this body alive." Jay Boy was giving thanks at noon. He says, "Bless this fish to our bodies." We can cast in all the living that we have. "Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, giving none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink." See, the Christian life, the Christian experience is, pardon the expression, whole hog or none. And gang, I don't buy this business that we're hearing a little bit nowadays of, we had so many decisions for Christ and so many decisions to make him Lord of their life. What's that one? Romans 10:9-10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus." Jesus is Lord. Paul says, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" What's that one? That'll lead you into further trouble. Conversion is going down the road this way and turning 180 and going this way. Well, if I've turned 180, I've turned 180. You can't turn another 180. If you do, you're getting off. No, Jesus, the new birth is a transformation, a transformed life. You say, "Well, Johnny, I know a lot of people that say they're Christian, but they don't live like it, and they come to an experience, and then they live like it." Well, so what? I had a lot of experiences before I was saved. But when I was converted, I was changed. The Bible teaches that. All through. Conversion, changing. Jesus is Lord. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. She put in all the living that she had. Is all my living, all your living on the altar of sacrifice? Should be. If it's not, you're not a disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath. How to give? Give all. 2 Corinthians 8:12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Just give all that you have. That's it, to him. Acts 11:29, "Give according to our ability." Point number three. That first point was Christ's motive for giving. The second point is how to give. Number three is the multiplying principle. Luke 6:38. "Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give to your bosom. For with the same measure ye measure, withal it shall be measured to you again." Given, it shall be given unto you. Back on the farm, you measure out some produce to sell. Why, you'd put it into a basket, and if you were honest, you would shake it. And then put in a little more. Well, this is put in a basket and shake it, and put in some more and shake it, and put in some more and shake it until you can't get any more. Press down, shaken together. Running over. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Press down, shaken together, running over. For with the same measure ye measure withal, it shall be measured to you again. Gang, I believe that with all my heart and soul. I believe. A lot of navigators are poverty-stricken, not necessarily financially, but spiritually, because they have missed the opportunity to give. Scripture says it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. And working with fellows and gals, they're so afraid they're going to be used or misused or not get credit for something that they did. Or be called on to go to the nav home and type some letters without the proper recognition. Or give a hand at a tea or at a party. Or maybe even be those girls or fellows that will stay behind and wash the dishes. I don't want to be used. I want to serve the Lord. If you're going to serve the Lord very much, you're going to be used, even trampled upon. God laid it on my heart very early to serve. I lived in a Nav home, and I thought, well, I'm not very spiritual. When I was first recommended to join the Navigator staff, 1945, Dawson told the man that recommended me, he said, well, I'm not very much impressed with Johnny. I'm not very much impressed with his spirituality. So this fella came back and told me. He says, I recommend you to Doss for the staff. And he said he wasn't very much impressed with your spirituality. His fella's name was Chris. And I says, well, Chris, you know, I'm not surprised. I'm not very much impressed with it either. It didn't hurt my feelings. Doss was honest. I knew he was honest. And I really wasn't impressed. I wanted to learn. I wanted to serve. And Dawson told this fella, but if you want to keep him around Oakland and help you around the house and put a roof on the house and keep the plumbing straight and do a little painting, sure, go ahead. And I said, well, Chris, I'd like that. So I would keep the car washed and do a little painting and hang a little paper, and we'd put a roof on the house, build a little retaining wall and do chores. Didn't bother me. Because, you know, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And when he starts pouring out a blessing, he's going to pour it out on everybody that's there, and I want to be there. You remember the servant? I believe George mentioned this, Eleazar. He didn't mention his name. I, being in the way the Lord led me, I wanted to be in the way. So I was there in the way, and God honored and God taught, and my heart was hungry. Give and it shall be given unto you. These recent years, I have fellas washing my car and putting up towel racks and keeping the plumbing squared away and painting. Don, I believe with all my heart and soul they would knock the door down to get in, because God Almighty says, Johnny, you got it on the books. I'm going to pay you, boy. You're not going to outgive me. And I'm going to pay you the same commodity you paid me. Chores. And I have fellas, all I can use, doing chores, Don. Giving it shall be given unto you. God laid it on my heart to give money in those early days. I have never owed a man a dollar in my life. I have never lacked. I live on a modest salary. You can find out called Gene Lolly. But you know, the places I go, the food I eat, the things I do, would take thousands of dollars a year. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. When God's blessing is upon you. There's a gal in this room that came to work with us a few years back, and she had a little savings. She's a school teacher, and I says, let's run a little experiment. Let's put your savings in the bank and leave it there till your wedding, and let's see what God will do. And I explained to her that our salary was $11 a week and money and board and room and all she could eat and a lot of love. And she said that'd be good. I think she had about $30 in her checking account at the time after she deposited what she had from teaching school in the savings account. She stayed with us a year and a half or 2 years. During that time, her wardrobe was about the same or slightly increased. She had bought her trousseau. What, that's what you buy or you get, you know? You know, you put in this hopeless barrel deal. this spare check. She had all that, and her checking account was 4 or 5 times what she had. God had blessed the little $11 a week and sent her way many financial blessings. She was in the way. God let her. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Shall men give to your bosom? And what about your bosom?
You know, her bosom.
Way in there. You can't put gold in there. You know, your heart and stuff is in there. What does that mean? Well, it's not material because you don't want anything materially, foreign matter, inside of you. Shall men give you a bosom? What is your bosom? Is it not your heart? Is it not the spirit, the soul? Given it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down. Shall men give unto your bosom? I have never seen a real man builder who wasn't liberal with his goods, with his money and his goods. I've never seen it. I don't see how you could be. Because Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, so being affectionate desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. You see, the reason you reach people, if you do reach people, is because you give of yourself. And when you give of yourself and I give of myself, we are rewarded in our bosom, in our heart. And God gives fruit in regard to men. It multiplies. It multiplies the principle. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, there is that scattereth and yet increases. There is that withholdeth more than is meet or necessary, yet it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. That's true. And I stand before you as a testimony to this truth. Well, I'm circling the field. That doesn't mean I'm going to come in as a speaker I heard not long ago, but it means I could come in any time. I think I'll just give you some information. Characteristics of money, 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19, it's uncertain, riches. Matthew 13, 22, it's deceitful. Proverbs 23, 5, it makes themselves wing and fly away as an eagle toward heaven. I'm sure we can all testify to that. Where to invest? Malachi 3, 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. I don't know any verse in the New Testament that speaks of the tithe other than in a negative sense. Jesus says, you tithe and mint and rue, they took a 10% of their herbs and stuff like that, and he spoke of this negatively. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't invest at least 10% of our money. In fact, my understanding of the New Testament has a spiritual and even a percentage investment, not necessarily a definite number. Because you'd like nothing better for me to prove in the Scripture that God said, do exactly this. That's what you'd like. I'd like it too. But it isn't there, kids. I can't tell you exactly what to do. I just give you principles. Because I haven't been able to find it. And I got a lot of stuff. Lots of stuff on giving and money. But it does say in 1 Corinthians 16:2, let every one of you lay by him in store according as God has prospered him. So it says we should invest according to God has prospered us. It says in 2 Corinthians 8:14 that we should give of our abundance to those who are in want, that there rather that there might be equality. Galatians 6:6 says we should give to our teachers. That's where to invest. Some teach that you should give all your giving into the church house. Well, I know the emphasis on this. I don't know any scripture on it. Unless you're going to take Malachi 3:10 and change the storehouse into the church house. If you do that, then you've got scripture. I give to the church house. But I don't give all my giving to the church house. The reason is, the scripture says, let every one of you lay by him in store. The Holy Spirit guides me in my witnessing. He guides me in my obedience. I believe he also holds me responsible, not the Pope, oh, pardon me, the pastor. Oh, I don't really believe you can take it and say, all right, now, pastor, now you're responsible, you're accountable, you have the burden, and we go out and finish our game of golf. No, can't see that. We are responsible and accountable. Job says, the cause which I knew not, I searched out. I looked around to find out where I could be of service. I made it my business. Financially, as well as witness-wise and encouragement-wise. You see, I don't think we can separate. Where do you get the money? This is point number 6. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, 12 says, work with your hands. Acts 20, 34, 35, Paul says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. Paul, I think your program is right over there, teaching your kids to work. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Matthew 25:9 teaches to buy and sell, that the virgins went out and bought the oil from those that sold. James 4:13 mentions buy and sell. The parable in Luke 19:15-20 mentions trading. All this is in the scriptures, as well as the interest. Point number 7, attitude. 2 Corinthians 8:12, a willing mind. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, but this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Back in San Luis Obispo, California, there's a man who got a hold of some money, perhaps by inheritance, and he wanted to give a sum of money, $1,200, to the Lord's work. He asked the deacon in his Baptist church, he says, where should I give it? The deacon, without hesitating, says, well, you should give it right to this Baptist church. He asked this babe in Christ, the young fellow that had come to the Lord there through the work. He says, where shall I give the money? He says, well, I can't tell you where to give it. He says, in fact, the Bible forbids me to tell you. And this babe in Christ referred to this verse, and I'd never seen it before. But this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. He says, you'll have to purpose in your heart. Where and how and when. He says, I can't tell you. Interesting, isn't it? How simple it is if you're not clouded up with a lot of other information. Babe in Christ says, I can't tell you, sir. You'll have to make up your own mind where to give. A verse in Philippians 4. That we like so well, Philippians 4:11. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what kind of person this is said about? What kind of person is God said of where Paul says, my God shall supply all your need? A person that's gone through verses 11 and 12 and 13. 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, we would like to interpret verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory of Christ Jesus. Therefore, he ordained the loan companies and the clip joints so that any time I have a need, I can go down and borrow the money and get it. We'd like to say that, wouldn't we? Have you ever thought you don't have the resource to get something, yet you feel God will have you get it, and he hadn't supplied? He said he'd supply all your need. Have you ever thought of that? Gang, I can't buy that. I can't buy that the Almighty God has to conform to the world system to get my needs. The psalmist says, I have been young, now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've never begged bread. I've been too fat most of my life. But a lot of us have succumbed to the world system. And glibly, my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And go right down and get clipped out of a lot of our wages and obligate ourselves for months and weeks to come because of lust and greed, and we want something. But it was so nice, Johnny. It was on sale. And I got it for half price. If God hasn't provided, he hasn't provided. He said, you're kind of a radical, aren't you, fella? Yeah. Yeah, you get that one clear. Yeah, I'm a radical. I'm a radical. I believe it with all my heart and soul. I can't say, toss out one verse and not another. Paul says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to use money. I know how to use goods. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me has flourished again. Whereof ye also were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. This is a thank you letter for a gift, or some gifts that has been sent to Paul. Philippians is a thank you letter. And Paul says, I desire fruit that might abound on your account. But he says, as far as I'm concerned, I have learned it. I know how to do without. Maybe God wants you to do without, and you have thwarted God's purpose by going to the loan company and buying something you really didn't need. Boy, aren't you meddling a little bit?
I hope so. I hope so. Because I've seen so many people peel off in my 25 years as a Christian on money. Jesus said about as much about money as he did anything else in the Bible. There's reams of stuff on money. Like there's reams of stuff on victory. You know there's over 300 passages in the Bible on victory? Reams of stuff on money. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and both to be hungry. I can do all things. The ability to do all things through Christ was on the heels of being able to do without or to abound. But John, well, we wouldn't have had a vacation this year if we hadn't borrowed the money. But John, we'd have had to just buy regular black tires. We couldn't have bought white sidewalls if we hadn't borrowed the money. Well, we wouldn't even have a hi-fi if we hadn't borrowed the money. Or a color TV. In fact, John, we wouldn't even have a TV if we hadn't borrowed the money. That's a need, huh? Ha, ha.